thank you for joining us here in person, because it's just so good to see you here in person. And we love having you online on Facebook, but it's just something special about coming to church in person and just worshiping God so we can see your beautiful faces. And what I'd like for us to do now is take a deep breath, if you feel safe to. Take a deep breath and exhale and say in Psalms 150, verse 6, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." Well, amen. If you brought your Bibles today, please turn to 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel in your Bibles, chapter 15. 2 Samuel 15. Today, I'll be continuing our theme for this month, it seems, I guess, about faithfulness, as I want to speak to you this morning about the right choice. The right choice. Because I'm sure all of you would probably agree, or at least most of you would agree, when I say that we're living probably in one of the most turbulent times, not the most turbulent, but one of them in the past 100 years. It almost seems like politics has found its way into every aspect of our life. Where we shop sometimes is political, because they say don't go there and support them. Science is even political. Sometimes they say don't believe them. They don't know what they're talking about. Even our fast food sometimes in places where we get our coffee has become political. And it's just that way. And the problem is that everyone thinks that they're right. And those who don't agree with you or I or anybody are wrong. And in almost every aspect of our life, there seems to be this tremendous pressure to choose sides to be on. And it seems like that you can't go anywhere or can't do anything without feeling like that someone wants to pick a fight. They're ready to fight. And we ourselves feel an obligation to fight the good fight. We sang this earlier this morning about fighting our battles. And so we feel that obligation ourselves to fight the good fight. There were two apples in a tree that were looking down on the world. And the first apple said, "Look at all those people fighting down there. They're robbing and they're rioting. And it seems like no one's willing to get along with their fellow man." And said, "Someday we apples will be the only ones left to rule the world." And the second apple thought for a moment and then said, "Which one of us will, the reds or the greens?" So it seems like nothing you can say today is on agreement with anything. There's always somebody that wants you to take sides. And this morning, in light of recent events, I'd like to look at where sometimes stepping back from a fight is the wisest course of action. It's the right choice. And it's my prayer that God will use something specific in this message today to speak directly to our spirit. And I say that with confidence, because I know that God still speaks to us today. Amen? And if you'll open up your heart and you'll hear a word of what God is saying to you today, you'll understand that. I'm speaking to you today in reference to a situation I brought to you in my message a couple of weeks ago called "The Beautiful for Situation." I made reference to it there, and it's about a story in 2 Samuel chapter 15 that's very relevant to our times, I think, which you'll see in a moment. Because beginning in 2 Samuel chapter 15, beginning with verse 14, "So David said to all of his servants who were at Jerusalem, he said, 'Arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape Absalom. Make haste and depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring disaster upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword.'" Notice what his thinking is about. It's about smiting the city, or completely destroying the city here. And then in verse 15, it says, "And the king's servants said to the king, 'We're your servants, and we're ready to do whatever the Lord and king commands.'" Now skip down to verse 23, if you would, of that same chapter. And it says, "All of the country wept with a loud voice, and all of the people crossed over. The king himself also crossed over the brook Kidron, and all of the people crossed over by the way of the wilderness. And there was Zadok also and Levites with him, bearing the Ark of the Covenant of God. And they set down the Ark of God and Abiathar went up until the people had finished crossing over from the city. And then verse 25, then the king said to Zadok, carry the ark back to the city. If I find favor in the eyes of the Lord, he'll bring me back and show me both of it and his dwelling place. But if he says thus, I have no delight in you, here I am, let him do with me as seems good to him. Now let's go back up to verse 14, because that verse is the verse I'm particularly focusing in on today. And he says, we need to make haste and depart. And then the latter part of that verse says, lest he strike or smite the city with the edge of the sword. And so I would like to speak to you today regarding about our faithfulness and God's, as God's children, in choosing not to fight and making that right choice in our lives. Making the right choice is very important for Christ followers, because that's what exactly was taking place in this text today. David was king of Israel. Absalom, his own son. Everybody say with me, hey, it's family. His own son, yeah, his own son decided to attack and rebel and overtake his dad's kingdom, the nation of Israel, the city of Judah. And in that very moment, David has to make a decision. And the Bible says, his servants said that we're going to leave and we're going to walk out of here and we're going to get out of here. And they said, we'll do whatever you tell us to do, David. If you want us to fight, we'll stand right here and fight with you. If you want us to give up, then we'll give up. You just tell us what to do and we'll do it. And David said, we need to leave, lest he smite the city, the edge of the sword. And I want to clearly state that I believe God knows exactly what he is doing in the world today. I believe in the sovereignty of God, just like David did. And David said it's God's kingdom. It's his kingdom, meaning God's kingdom. And if he wants me to have that, then I'll have it. And then if he doesn't want me to have it, then I don't want it. And he said, we're going to leave this city, because what's important is the city of Zion. City of Zion is a picture of the church. It's the kingdom. It's in God's kingdom. And he said, he wants to destroy the city, and I don't want to have a lot of innocent bystanders killed just because this is happening. And I don't want to have a whole lot of blood lining the streets on account of this little thing that my son Absalom wants to try to pull off. Because I just don't want to, I love my city, I love my kingdom, I love the people too much to see that happen. And when you understand that God is sovereign, men always seem to come and go, but God is always there and he's sovereign. When you understand that he makes no mistakes, the Bible says in Psalms 146, verse 17, he is righteous in all of his ways, not just his good days or bad days. He's not on and off. He's righteous in all of his ways. And God is always right, whether you understand that or not. Sometimes we have a hard time understanding that. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, that the carnal mind cannot understand or discern the things of the Spirit. So if you're not fully devoted to Christ, you're going to have a hard time understanding God a lot of times. That if all you do is made up your mind is how God must act and what he must do and how he must do it, then you'll never understand God's ways, because you've already determined in your mind this is how God's going to do it. That God is completely sovereign. He is in control of our world. He is in control of our nation. And he is in control of our life. And David loved God. And because he loved God, David loved everything that God loved. And if you don't love God first, then you don't love the things that you're supposed to love. The people of God. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. the church, the kingdom, and the worship that we do in God's house. And so if you don't love the things that God's love, I encourage you to fall in love with God. Fall in love with God, and then your perspective will begin to change, and you'll begin to love the things that God does. And that's what David did. And the thing that impresses me about David, well, there's really two things that impress me about David. It's this. Number one, David never worshipped any idols. Now, David made a lot of mistakes. David did a lot of bad things. You can read about him in the Word. But he never worshipped any other god. He said, there's one God, and I know who he is, and I'll never worship any other. Even when I fall, even when I fail at doing so many wrong things. And he determined within himself that I'm coming back to God. And he never worshipped another idol. Second thing that impresses me about David is this, is that he refused to raise his sword against his own brothers and sisters and flesh and blood. When we think about David, we think about David as being a strong and mighty warrior, and he was. So this thing that he did in our scripture today couldn't have been easy for him, just to walk away from the throne room, to walk away from being king of a nation. Couldn't have been easy. It had to be everything instinctively inside of him just to walk away, because David was a fighter. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I fought a bear. I fought a lion. How many of us can say that? The bear and the lion were a threat to his family welfare, because if you remember, David was a shepherd. And David was guarding the sheep, and the sheep were his family business. And the lion came to hurt his family's welfare. And the bear came to steal his family welfare, to take that away. And so he fought the bear, and he fought the lion, and he slew both of them. And then there came a time in that same chapter when he fought Goliath. And Goliath was a warrior that he fought for the national warfare of the nation, the people, the nation of Israel. And a lot of times it seems that so many of us are worried about our nation and what's going on with it, that we're losing the battle with the lion and the bear in our own homes. We have to remind ourselves that it's not the White House that decides how much God I'm going to have in my life. I'm sorry to inform you, but the children of Israel are God's chosen people. It's not the Republicans. It's not the Democrats. It's not any political party. It's not even America. America is blessed, but they're not the chosen people of God. Israel is. And so we have to make that determination. But it's what's going on in my house that's happening, that I have to take care of. If I'm not fighting the bear and the lion in my own house, then how can I even dare think that I'm going to defeat a Goliath on a national level? David was a warrior. He fought bears, and he fought lions, and he fought giants. And that was his instinct. And he was surrounded by trained killers, the best army he had. God even said, David, you're such a bloody man, I can't let you build my temple. I'll let you get the funds for it, but I can't let you build it. Your son's going to have to. So David, he knew how to fight. He'd fought many armies. He'd fought the bravest and the strongest of armies. He fought the mightiest armies of the world. And with God behind him and for him and blessing him with the Ark of the Covenant, he defeated them hands down. But now there comes a time, against all of his instinct, David is moved upon by the Spirit of the Lord in his life. And he says, this time, I choose not to fight. This time, I'm going to make the right choice. This time I choose to advocate the throne, and I choose to go with what God is telling me to do in here. And this time I don't feel like it's time to fight. I'm not supposed to fight this time. I feel like if I do, there's going to be so many innocent bystanders that Absalom will just strike down in the city just to get back at me. And there'll be many, many, many lives lost, and the blood that will be shed in the streets. A civil war will probably break out. So I'm just going to put it in the hands of my God. And so David was more concerned about the preservation and the health of the city of Jerusalem. That Jerusalem must at all costs stay intact, because there's too much good coming out of Jerusalem. Salvation will eventually come out of that city. Prophecies are going to be fulfilled in that city. Jesus is going to rule and reign from that city one day. And David purposed in his heart that he cannot just let this city be destroyed just because his ego is hurt. Now David could have said, I can fight this fight. I can win this fight. He could have just let his lust for revenge cause him to bring greater division than he's ever faced before. Because, like I mentioned earlier, David was not one to run from a fight. But he was doing what he was doing to preserve the city. And every now and then, we have to come to a place in our life where we realize that there's something more important than just our personal feelings, or more important than our personal agendas that we have. It's not about me, and quite frankly, it's not about you either. Jesus, he died on the cross for you and me. Jesus shed his blood for all of us. And the last thing that we should be doing during this critical hour, the last thing that we should be doing in the church, is picking up our swords and using them against each other. When all the while the world needs a church like it's never needed before during this dark time. Truth is, we all have an agenda. But we have to humble ourselves. I've watched friendships for many years between people suffer injury because of disagreements in politics. Shame on us all. I can absolutely disagree with you and not agree with you in anything in the world that you agree with on politics. And vice versa, the same with me. But that should have nothing to do with my love and my compassion and our hearts of love and concern for you and me as brothers and sisters in Christ. David said, if I don't leave, Absalom's going to smite the city with a sword. And I'm afraid some of us have been using the sword against our brothers and sisters. Speaking of swords, Simon Peter was in the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that story? And the Bible said the high priest came, and somebody who was religious, and Simon Peter had pride. He was religious as well. And when they came to arrest Jesus, he took a sword and he swung. And he just wasn't swinging and aiming for just Malchus's ear. He was aiming for his head. He wanted to chop Malchus's head off. But he missed, and he just got the ear. And Jesus reached down and he picked up the ear and he put Malchus's ear back on supernaturally. And then he rebuked Peter. He didn't say, hey, Peter, I really appreciate your support of me. That was kind of cool of you. No, he rebuked Peter. And he said, Peter, you have the right doctrine, but you have the wrong spirit. And it's possible for us to have the right doctrine on what we believe and have that wrong spirit. And he said, put your sword away, Simon Peter. Because if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. And God's speaking to the body of Christ today, saying, put your sword in your sheath. We're not supposed to be attacking one another and then following one another and disconnecting from one another, while at the same time sending the message that I'm going to go to my camp and you go to your camp. Just refuse that attitude. Make the right choice and choose not to fight. Instead, choose to love. Love the Lord God with all of your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. And by doing this, you'll fulfill all of the laws. You won't have to worry in your life, am I pleasing God? Am I doing the right thing, God? You do those two things, you got it made. You know what Jesus was saying when he told Peter to put your sword away? He was trying to get the message across to his disciples that you not ought to be cutting up somebody who you disagree with. Now, some of you may say, well, I haven't stuck anybody with a knife or a sword or a shank. Well, maybe not, but you've been cutting them online. Unfollow here, unfollow. These are people perhaps you've known for years. People you've maybe even worshipped with for years. People maybe who you went to school with as a child. But now due to what they're saying, slice. But don't you forget that line that Jesus said, that he told Peter when he said, put your sword away. Because you know what? It teaches us that some battles, that it doesn't take a sword to win. It doesn't take a sword to win some battles. But instead, it takes a crucifixion. Sometimes you don't win by fighting and cutting everybody. Sometimes God allows you and I to go through a crucifixion. And you die of your pride. And you die of your ego. And you die to your opinion on everything. And you die to your will. And you die to your way that you just are determined to follow and fight for. A crucifixion is some ways to win a battle. The thing that impressed me about this story more than anything else is that David was leaving on his own because it was the best for the city that he loved and the church that he loved there. And David was leaving, and this tells me that in our lives, we can leave also a certain place that we have. But notice the spirit in which David leaves. Zadok and Levites brought the Ark of the Covenant. After all, David was the man, if you remember. David is the one who brought the Ark of the Covenant back to the church. David is the man who trained the musicians and the singers, and it was all about the presence of God and the Ark of the Covenant. And he was the one that said, you know, rolled up the tents and, you know, let's just have church. Before, it was like a holy thing. You had to be, you know, this and that to approach God. But David just rolled up those tents and said, come on in, let's worship. And so David's followers, David's people assume that, well, David's leaving. We might as well pick up the glory. The glory of God, the Ark, the glory meaning the glory. Let's just leave it with the church with him. Let's just take it with us. And when we leave somewhere, whether it be a job or a church, and when your spirit is this, such as if I leave and bless God, that place can go to hell. That place can just go to hell. But we forget. We stop. And we forget. I mean, we get so angry sometimes, and trust me, I've been through this growing up in churches, especially in those church business meetings. You get someone upset, they grab, you know, they stop out. That place can just go to hell. I'm going somewhere else. But we forget how many times that place that we were at has blessed us. When we were there, they blessed us. But when your spirit is, whenever I leave, I want the glory to leave too. I want the anointing to leave. I want the presence of God just to leave that place. I hope their worship falls to pieces. I hope that church just goes under. Well, here's a news alert for you in case you didn't know. The church isn't going under because the church is built on the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. And here's the thing that God wants to do. God wants to get some little attitudes, and He wants to tweak them, and He wants to make them more like Him instead of like somebody else. Because whenever you leave and you want something destroyed because it just didn't fit your needs, or you got mad at something or somebody, that's not right. When David left, there wasn't any bitterness. No bitterness. No bitterness at all with David. Watch him. David could have said, yes, let's take that Ark of the Covenant with us, because wherever that box goes, that God box, then the victory goes with that thing. Prosperity goes with it. Let's just take that thing with us, because who knows what Absalom's going to do with that thing. But instead, David said, no, send it back. Even if I can't go back for a while, take the Ark back to the city where it belongs. And I'll just say, God, if you favor me, then you'll let me go back to that city again one day. And if you don't, I mean, listen to this man, David. This is the real David. David, he could have fought and he could have won this thing. But he had such a spirit of humility about him. A spirit of humility that said with him that there's a cause greater than me. And David was the king, king of a nation. His ego was in check. And he says, but God, if you don't favor me and I don't go back, then my life is in your hands. You do with me as you will. In other words, not my will, but thine be done. Those words sound familiar? He was saying, I don't understand everything, but I know that you're a sovereign God and I love you. I love you with all my heart. And the Bible said that he sent the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. Well, let me ask today, what kind of spirit do you have? Is there not a cause? I'm almost done. But David's son, Absalom, he had ambition for the throne. Even though David was anointed for the throne, Absalom had ambition for it. And ambition will always be conquered by the anointing. There's a lot of people in churches throughout America today, and all the world, I'm sure, who have unsanctified ambition in the church. They want a position so bad that they don't care who they have to kill and who they have to slay and how bad they have to hurt the church to get it. They all get mad and offended and say, let's get that Ark of the Covenant. Let's pick up my purse. I'm out of here. If they don't get what they want in the church. And I'm wondering, can we get some mature believers in churches today who understand that there's something just a little bit bigger going on around here than just our egos? Souls have been saved in this church. Lives have been changed at Prayer of Faith. Because the anointing always supersedes ambition. When God has anointed you for something and somebody ambitious is trying to take it away from you, this happens in the workplace as well. God knew that He was not anointed to do that. And just as if you are anointed to do something and somebody comes and sweeps it out from under you, God knows that they weren't anointed to do that. They just had ambition to do that. And David understood that. He understood that I may go through a setback. I may not be in my position for a while. But if I humble myself and keep the right spirit about me, then God will guide my life right where I'm anointed to be. You know what happened when David left the city and Absalom had taken over the city? A few days later, Absalom was riding on a horse, or a donkey rather, and I guess this ambitious man had a luxurious head of hair. I mean, it far surpassed many rock stars. It was long and flowing. And he was riding on that donkey, and he was going through the forest, and his hair got caught up in some tree limbs. And so the donkey do what donkeys do. They just kept on walking and left him dangling in the tree limbs with his hair, trying to untangle him to get down. But he's up there hanging in that tree. And it just so happened that Joab, the chief commander of the army and the assassin of King David, came upon him. And when Joab saw Absalom and that beautiful head of hair that he had tangled in that tree limb, Joab said to himself, well, it's time for some target practice. And he took three darts and he shot him while he was hanging from his hair by the tree or in the tree. And so now David comes back and he's going back to the city. Yeah, he could have fought. He could have left the city devastated. Had untold damage. Who knows what the count would be. But now, in God's time, the things we fight over, that if we trust God to handle them, and listen, I'm not saying that you don't take a stand on anything. Please understand me here. I'm not saying that you don't stand up for what you believe in. But there comes a time where it becomes more negative, more hurtful, more detrimental to keep fighting and fighting instead of making the right choice. So let me bring it home right here. I'm almost done. Just like David didn't want the city, Jerusalem, to be smitten or struck with a sword, as children of the Most High God, then it's time for families who love God, to make the right choice as well and choose not to fight. Be careful how you treat your wife. Be careful how you treat your husband. Be careful how you treat your children. Just be careful. You may be right. You may be absolutely right on the issue. But there has to come a moment that if you want peace and you don't want innocent bystanders hurt, grandchildren, children, husband and wives, moms and dads, teenagers, there comes a time where you have to make the right choice and choose not to fight. Remember these words. Sometimes it's better to be kind than to be right. Sometimes it's better to be kind than right. Men who trap animals in Africa for zoos in America say that one of the hardest animals to catch is the ring-tailed monkey. And for Zulus who live in that continent, however, it's simple because they've been catching this agile little animal for years. And the method that the Zulus used is based on the knowledge of this little monkey. For their trap is nothing more than a melon that grows on vines. You see, the seeds of that melon are the very favorite thing that monkey wants to have. And knowing this, the Zulus, they just drill a little hole in the melon, just large enough for that monkey to get his hand in there and reach those seeds inside. And the monkey will stick his hand in there and grab as many seeds as he can and try to withdraw it. But he can't do it because now his fist is bigger than the hole. And the monkey, he'll pull and tug and he'll screech and fight that melon for hours. And he can't get his hand out of the trap unless he gives up those seeds, which he refuses to do because he wants them so bad. And so meanwhile, the Zulus, they just sneak up on the monkey and grab him. And I'm saying to the church today, it's time for us to unclench our fists. Yep, you can do it. It may take one finger at a time, but you can just let go of the things that are keeping you trapped from receiving the peace of God in your life. I don't know anybody that has ever shared the gospel of Christ and be a light for Him with a clenched fist. And as we focus as Christ followers, we learn to make that right choice. I want us to examine our hearts this morning, if this has gotten hold of your heart. If it's gotten hold of your spirit, are you ready to make the right choice and choose not to fight with people? Are you ready to reach out and say, can we disagree maybe, but still love each other? And determine within your spirit to refuse to let the devil get a wedge between our brothers and sisters in Christ? and not let the body of Christ always just be mad at each other and offended at each other to where we're not communicating, we're not being with each other, and we refuse to see each other because we may not see eye to eye on certain issues. Can we do that, church? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, forgive us. Forgive us. As we forgive others in the same measure, as I forgive others in the same measure, forgive us of our offenses that we have with others. Forgive us of our broken relationships. Father, preserve this church. Preserve our families. Preserve our marriages. And preserve the friends that we love and cherish. Preserve your kingdom. And let the church be the church triumphant. We pray this unto you. Father, forgive us. Father, wash us. Cleanse us. To shine as a light in the dark world that we live in. For you. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And all the church said.